Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about Jesus and the way he prepared his followers before and after raising from the dead.
And Bernadette, I just have really enjoyed doing these programs with you. You know, it's we just have such a history together, and we're both like so totally stoked and excited about the things that we're reading about because we love the Word.
We are, and we do love the Word. I will say, you are so much more. You have so much more to say.
Well, that's kind of true, just in life in general.
Yeah, in life in general, it is. No, I'm just saying there are so many things that I haven't studied or, you know, we'll start working on something. I go, oh, that phrase in there, I've never really looked at that before and I have no idea what it means.
But, you know, Bernadette, yours and my relationship, and I've told you this for years, you know, I'm like the black and white photo. I just kind of plug away and I give a picture of what's going on, but you're the color.
Aww.
You know, we were privileged a number of years ago to go to Israel. We had some friends that facilitated that, which was really a neat thing.
It was.
And we're just been really grateful for it. And there were so many things that when you see them, you know, you can see them dramatized or you can see them in a travelogue or whatever. But when you're actually there, you get a sense for the fact that, you know, Israel's like 150 miles long by 75 miles wide. And it's not that big of a country.
For me, it wasn't so much the feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm walking where Jesus walked, which is what I hear a lot from people.
Right.
I go, that was not my what I got to experience. Mine was different. Mine was more seeing how rugged it was, seeing how what I call a wilderness, I think of Wisconsin and Colorado, where there are really rugged mountains.
Yes.
And a lot of trees to get lost in. This wilderness is just like rocks.
Everywhere.
So you think about, so just quickly, you think about David hiding from Saul. At some point you go, oh, it's not like he could hide up in a tree or hide in the forest. That isn't what it was like.
No.
You know, it was much more, you could look around and see in the mountains. You had to be hiding behind boulders or in caves. Or that was just a revelation.
It's not
idea.
A Robin Hood environment.
No. No.
Well, one of those things that really stood out to me was the city of Bethany, and it really was a town, and it was 2 miles away, and if you went out the eastern gate and looked over, the Mount of Olives is right there, and the Mount of Olives, you know, it's not huge, but it's big, you know, for the area, and that's where Jesus' feet are going to touch down when he comes, and he'll come through the eastern gate. Well, right down the road is Bethany. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of things that happened in Bethany beyond the Mount of Olives. And the Mary and Martha had their home there. And so when their brother Lazarus was sick there, they had him there. Now, we don't know that that was his home, but that's where he was when he was being taken care of by his sisters. And also, that's where Simon the leper lived. And, you know, that's a whole story in of itself.
Well, it is a story. And just real quickly, one of the neat things about that story is that Jesus took the time to touch him. And lepers were unclean. You didn't touch them because they were contagious. But it was just the idea. These people probably hadn't been touched for a long time. And to be sick and to be such outcasts. And Jesus touched him.
Well, in the picture that you get, and you saw this in the movie Ben-Hur, I don't know if you've ever seen this, and I know they've just remade it, but that's one of the touching things, is that it looks like that's where all the lepers, and there were many lepers, were sent down this 2 miles of road, and they were out beyond Bethany, and they were in a leper colony. Mm-hmm. And so what a separated, solitary, sad life they must have lived. And of course, because it was Israel, people would bring them food and bring them things to sustain them, but they didn't want to get the cooties from them.
Well, yeah, and it must have been horrifying news when you found out you had that.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. So he has already raised him from the dead.
And he's just back with his people. Like, I'm sure not like nothing had happened, but in this statement, it's like nothing had happened.
Yeah, so catch this. So they made him dinner. Martha was serving.
Yes.
Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with him. Mary took a pound of very costly perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You almost just get the sense that John is reliving the situation that he's describing.
Yeah,
he's
just talking about. Yeah, do you think he can still smell it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
A very powerful picture. But, and apparently all of the disciples were there because Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold? I want to say it with the right attitude. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor people? He said this not, and I just love these insights that you get from John, the disciple. He said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief.
Which he didn't know at the time. John did not know at the time that he was a thief.
And he carried the money box, and he used to pilfer from what was put into it. Jesus said, leave her alone in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, which is, this is a sweeping statement right here. You're always going to have the poor because that's the nature of the world, but you will not always have me.
I think it's interesting that Judas' comment is so arrogant. He tried to look kind, even though his heart wasn't. But Jesus' comment to him, it's like, of course he did know, but it's he saw right through all that and spoke right to Judas' heart.
Well, and what would it have been like to be Lazarus? I mean, when you actually were dead, you talk about you know, going toward the light. I mean, he went toward the light and he was dead and he was raised from the dead. And now here he is sitting around and having dinner with the disciples. I mean, just think of the emotion that would have been in that whole situation, because, you know, they were there when Lazarus was called out from his grave.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. And what's super freaky about this is you've got the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees are actually trying to figure out not only how to kill Jesus, but they need to kill this Lazarus too, because he's causing problems. He's only 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And you can imagine the stir that would have happened. You know, if you could go and visit the man that Jesus had raised from the dead.
The amazing things, the amazing ends we will go to keep our power instead of giving it to Jesus, our supposed power.
So what a problem the religious leaders were experiencing. This pesky, raised from the dead Lazarus was costing them followers big time. And in the meantime, Lazarus continues his life with his sisters Mary and Martha. And together they're prepping for Jesus' death and resurrection, and Judas is preparing to betray
Jesus. It amazes me when I actually meditate on these passages, this one that you just read about the aroma of the perfume, Lazarus being there. You know, you just to imagine all the surrounding sights and smell to make it come alive, that's what meditating kind of does. But how do you imagine something so far out? You know, even in your meditating, you have to be careful not to speculate, but there are things that you can know to be true. If they were having a meal, you know there were smells, you know there were sounds. So that's not really speculating. So how do you not speculate? But how do you even meditate or imagine something that is so far out, like just hanging around with Lazarus?
Well, I remember one time somebody explained that if you really want to recreate the pictures that are in the scriptures accurately, you have to make use of the senses. You know, what did you see? And what did each person see? What did they smell? What did they hear? What did they feel when they were in the situation? And all of that helps us in our meditating process to recreate the original intent of the situation and of the passage. And that's pretty big when it comes to interpreting scripture and understanding the story. Well, there appear to be several responses to our encounters with words of Jesus Christ and the reality of resurrection. And I was thinking about the people involved in this story. Lazarus picks up where he left off with his death, which is, I don't know if he had a sudden death, if he got himself ready, you know, if he said his goodbyes or whatever. But can you imagine, you've said your goodbyes and now you need to say your hellos?
Prepare to say your goodbyes again.
Oh, my goodness. And then
what would I do differently this time?
And then to go on meeting with his resurrected challenges of living because, you know, did his foot still hurt? Did his back still, like, was everything still the same as it was before the resurrection, or were there differences? But imagine processing that.
And yes, then, maybe he couldn't see very well. Did he suddenly have better vision, or was that all the same?
Yeah, and how do you process that? You know, what would that look like for Lazarus? So he's going through that. Judas, it takes him to a selfishly focused here and now new level. And he couches everything in, and this is one of the things that strikes me about the culture that we're experiencing right now, is because you know, it, within our culture, we kind of we claim the power of God, mm-hmm. or we claim the word of God, but we deny the power. It's like love. You know, love is a great concept, but think of all the different things that it means. And just because I say I love somebody doesn't mean I'm experiencing true love,
right,
in any way, shape, or form. So he had lofty principles related to the poor, but his true heart was cloaked within the persona of self-benefiting, uh-huh. a self-benefiting do-gooder. And that's one of the things that just irritates me. You know, if you don't do what you do because it honors and blesses God, you're just a do-gooder. And if you're just a do-gooder, there's no substance to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just good enough to do good.
Heart has to be there.
And the goodness of God has to come through you. And then I think about the two sisters. Martha was continuing to be a servant, who she was, even though Jesus had told her that that's secondary to sitting
told
at
her
my
to
feet.
Knock it off.
And then you've got Mary, who is beautifully mm-hmm. and humbly expressing her love, anointing his feet with costly perfume, and then wiping them dry with her hair. And I think about all the people in this whole story, and I'm most hopeful to be like Mary. You know, how does one expand into that kind of personal, mm-hmm. beautiful humility?
Yeah, I do feel humbled by a lot of this. I just wish my own daily desires didn't rise up so often to fight, you know, because I end up seeing myself in Judas, Martha, the Jewish leaders. You know, I see that in myself, even though at the same time, I'm really humbled by everything that God has done.
And I think there's something for us to take from each one of the characters mm-hmm. in order to have a realistic view of ourselves on the downside, the human mm-hmm. side, and the upside, you know, the resurrected side, the
right.
humbled heart that stands before God. Hey, so I've got a question for you as we've considered the lunch with Lazarus, let's call that, anointing the light. Do you feel like you've been anointed by the light? Are you humbled by his sacrifice and his devotion? And maybe right along with that, are you anointing other people? Because, you know, that's what Jesus was talking about when he said that we're supposed to wash one another's feet, mm-hmm. just like he did.
Yeah, and there are all kinds of ways to do that, by being encouraging, by being, you know, a helper coming alongside. Lots of ways to show his anointing in your life.
I want to leave you with three passages. First, John 8. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of light." And out of John chapter 9, "We must work the works of him who sent us," or sent me, "as long as it is the day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And finally, in Matthew 5, not necessarily in chronological order uh-huh. here, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Mm-hmm. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Anointing the light. Mm-hmm. You know, the light of the world came, and people, flesh and blood, everyday people, interacted with them. And you know, that's no different for you and for me. We're having our interactions with the Son of God now, and the light has come into our lives, and we have the opportunity to experience that light and then anoint others and bring the light to our neighbors. Pretty cool. Hey, you just seem to be kind of speechless right now.
Well,
you're just getting all lined up for Resurrection Day, aren't you?
I just was listening to that, sort of soaking that in, and still stuck on a couple things about Lazarus that actually hit me while we were talking.
You got 10 seconds. Anything you want to say?
No. Nothing I can say in 10 seconds.
Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you would like to listen to today's program in its entirety or any of our other programs, you can go to ForthStream.com and click the radio button.
Together we are finding hope at ForthStream.com.
Hey, happy Resurrection Day, Bernadette. It's right around the corner.
Thank you.